So has anybody had an interesting week?
Yep.
Nope. My floor leaks every time it rains. Is that interesting?
How does the floor leak?
Wait.
His floor is actually on the ceiling.
Look, I can't explain how. It just, every time it rains, the floor leaks.
don't question him.
Is it the floor of a basement?
No, there is
no
basement.
That's where the power chamber is.
The floor of, like, the second floor? Or is it just...
It's a one-story house! There's no basement!
But...
Does it have a crawl space?
No, and there's no plumbing under the side of the house either.
Or is it a slab foundation, or does it have a crawl space?
It's the power chamber underneath!
No, I just said there's no basement.
Where does the sound come from?
Are you on a houseboat?
I'm on the love boat.
This is Superhero Time with XV.
You, Detroit.
Hey, Mickey.
Your donuts.
Paladin.
Roses are red, violets are blue. You're really hot, but...
Ken.
95% of it is like, I want to f*** this asshole.
And Fort Max.
Dude, what the f***?
That's what she said.
No, she didn't.
Did she or didn't she?
She did say it, but she was at the buffet.
By the way, we've started the show already, and this is Superhero Time. So, we had a choice this week. We could either talk about golf, or we could just talk about random crap instead of, you know, the weeklies we don't have. So, we just spent like 45 minutes talking about BotCon, which you may hear someday, probably at the end of the year on the clip show. We'll see.
We're stuck on to the end of RFC.
I'm not sure Kilby would be in favor of that, but we'll find out.
No, oh, he'd never know.
I could just take that whole segment and put it together on its own and post it as an RFC supplemental without asking him.
That's a good idea.
You could offer,
here's
like,
the other side of the coin.
You could offer, like, hey, Brian, let me you know, do the editing for you this week. You've had a long week.
Well, except RFC's video now, so I kind of...
Oh, shit.
Yeah, if it was still back in the audio-only days, I probably would be doing the editing full-time. Because I'm better at it.
Damn.
Now, you know, you've listened to the show now,
It's well-edited. It's well-edited, yes, sir.
You know, I mean, it's definitely a better-edited product than it was when we started.
Yeah. Even since I've been on.
We're
yeah, but I mean,
a lot better ways than when we first started.
Yeah.
Of course, we're also a lot worse in most ways than when we started.
In many ways.
Yeah. We just kind of
talk about STDs a lot more often.
We kind of feed off each other, and just, you know, we're becoming this singularity of horrible, but in the best possible way.
Yeah.
Singular shitty.
A shitularity.
Shitularity. I'm gonna have to remember that.
So you can see it like a long stream of turds all spiraling together towards the central point.
They become one super turd. By
a
our power
so
combined.
Dark and heavy that light cannot escape its surface.
But the smell can. What is the speed
of
smell? Shit
with an event horizon.
Shit combined.
Speaking of collected shit, Paladin, why don't you tell us about the newest Legacy stuff coming up?
Oh, you want to start there, eh?
Yeah, because I think that's the most interesting.
Okay. The Legacy line will be continuing, first with 5-inch Power Ranger movie figures.
Huh?
Including Ivan Ooze.
You mean, like, the 95 movie, right? Not the upcoming
movie. Wasn't it 93?
No, well, it's going to be an Ivanhoe's figure. I would assume it would be the 90s movie.
So, presume... Yeah. Okay, so...
There are apparently six figures, and one of them is Ooze.
Right. Wow. So, my guess here is that it's not going to be one member of the team absent from the assortment. It's going to be an assortment of two Tommies, and then a red, black, and blue, and Ivanhoe's. That's going to be your case assortment.
Yep, no pink and yellow.
Right.
Or they'll throw in, like, Lord Zedd or some gold
armor. Or they will have Aisha, but they won't have Kimberly.
No. No. The bird
Tengus.
Yes, the Tengus. The guys, the birds. It'll be the Tengu, Ivanhoe's.
Aren't the
Tengus
the
Rangers?
I thought the Tengus were the result of a dude f***ing birds.
Well, they keep f***ing birds. That's why they keep having more Tengus.
No, but, you know, I wouldn't actually mind a Goldar turning up in the Legacy line.
It's the movie design, yeah, I'd be down for that.
Well, I hope the movie toys, I hope the crotch falls apart out of the middle of them.
Yes.
Just like the actual costumes.
Just on the Tommies.
Yeah, ultimate show accuracy there.
Film accuracy.
Ooh. They should have visors that can flip up so you can recreate the first take of the movie.
Wait, when is this line supposed to come out?
We don't know that yet. So it's just in Toys R Us's computers.
It'll probably be part of like the spring 2015.
So they are literally having a 28th anniversary line for the movie. That's what they're doing because that is next year is the 20th anniversary of the movie.
There's
more than that for the Legacy line.
In an odd way, though, that kind of makes sense.
It does, especially if they're making a new one.
Okay, so yeah, continue on with the part I actually was interested in.
Yes.
Next up is Legacy Saba.
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 For how much?
For $100.
$999.99 of your American dollars.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
I mean, okay. Like, to be completely fair, mm-hmm. You know, Saba's a bigger toy than a Dragon Dagger.
Yes, it might be a whole...
Or a Morpher.
It might be a whole 2 centimeters longer for
standards
and kid sizes because they're not going to make a full-size Saba. If they made a full-size Saba, then yes, sure, $100.
They're not going to make a full-size one, but since the Dragon Dagger was even bigger than the original toy, I think Legacy Saba could be bigger than the original toy.
It's still going to probably look stupid.
Of course it's going to look stupid.
That's
it's Saba.
Given. It's Saba.
Yes.
But, like, what I've heard today is that it's supposed to have show accurate phrases, which either means they've gone back into the archives and pulled out Saba lines from the ADR,
or somebody with a bad accent went in a booth,
or they actually got Tony Oliver.
Yeah, sure, I'm sure.
Well, he's a voice actor. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but I don't expect them to pay that much attention to the voice actors as they
you know,
would say.
You know, toss Frank. Toss him $50. Oh, it's probably Tommy's voice in Saba. I didn't even think of that until you said that.
Can you imagine Tommy trying to talk like Saba though?
No, he wouldn't try to. No. See, you're completely.
Tommy.
You're completely misunderstanding this. The people making the toys would assume that Saba is supposed to sound like Tommy.
Oh God.
or no. Wait.
It's just no way.
Yes. Okay.
No. I figured out what happened here.
Tommy Soundbox.
I figured out what happened here. The person that they put on the Legacy Saba project looked back into the credits and saw where Tony Oliver was credited as a voice, and they thought it was a typo for Tommy Oliver.
I would buy that completely. That's the sad part of all this. Oh, and last but also probably least is Legacy Tiger Zord.
That makes
for $80.
Considering their MO of shell out everything that's related to Tommy, that makes sense.
This well, last line, that it morphs with the Mighty Morphin Power Ranger Dragon Zord.
So, well, if they're both compatible with the Zord Builder system,
right?
But is Tommy mating with himself?
Okay, no, but see, no,
Tommy
but no,
kill Tommy.
Right, but at this point, then
no,
we
don't
all
act like he wouldn't do that.
We need a Legacy Falcon Zord, so that you can combine all three of his primary Zords.
Yeah, but,
is, I thought Tommy only f***ed every other Ranger.
But of course, the thing about this is we're getting a legacy Tiger Zord, but not a legacy Thunder Megazord.
Yeah. Not yet.
I want to say yet, but I am not that optimistic.
Yeah, neither am I. I would almost expect a legacy Falcon Zord without the legacy Ninja Zord.
The thing about making a legacy Thunder Megazord is how would you get that to work with Zord Builder?
Right, they would have to completely redesign.
Yeah, that was,
I don't think it's actually possible, sadly.
That might take too much effort, you're right.
So would you like have to remove parts of the Red Dragon Thunder Zord to connect it?
That's kind of what I'm thinking. Like, they would have to make it where, like, maybe you pop the Red Dragon Thunder Zord's arms off and the lion slides over that and has Zord Builder ports to put the Megazord's arms onto it.
That would actually make it mobile.
Would you, pop off his legs beneath the knees?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, you would take
all
off
the legs beneath the knees, and then you could have either, like, say, you could have your Samurai Megazord with Red Dragon Thunder Zord legs, or Thunder Megazord legs, which, of course, would still have the Red Dragon Thunder Zord legs inside them.
Like, the whole point I'm seeing here is that they would take everything that made the original Thunder Megazord toy good. Like,
and ruin it?
Yeah, and they would destroy that to make it Zord Builder compatible, but at the same time, you'd have Zord Builder compatible Thunder Megazord.
Wait, that toy was good?
Well, I like the way they did the combination because it was very different from the first Megazord.
The toy's not very fun to play with.
No, I mean, I have it. I understand that the Red Dragon Thunder Zord
get rid of all the thin breakable bits. Get rid of all the dozens of stickers.
And actually, Fort Max is right. They
then
can
basically you'd have a Super Robot Shogokin, which would be better all around for everyone.
No, Fort Max is right, though. They could actually engineer it where it works both ways. You know, it could still combine the same way, basically, where, you know, the lion stuff goes over the arms. The arms might have to come off, be reattached. But, I mean, you could make it work the same way and be Zord Builder compatible. You would just need to add the connectors and have it be, like, breakaway parts. Intentionally breakaway, not, you know, just design flaw breakaway like the original was. I mean, that actually could work as I'm giving it some thought.
That's the sad part.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's actually the good part, because I think it increases the chances of it being done. And honestly, with Zord Builder, like, I don't have the space or the finances to do, like, a whole Megazord line for myself, but, you know, Mickey will buy all that shit, and, you know, once or twice a year I can go mess with his and get my satisfaction out of it.
You make me sound like a cheap whore.
He does, doesn't he?
Yes, and that's not fair. I'm sure you paid a lot for those Zord Builders.
But the point is, though, I mean, the more stuff you have compatible with the Zord Builder system, the better it is overall.
That is true. I want a Zord Builder compatible Shogun Zord so I can put building feet on other Zords.
And the Ninja Megazord would be really easy to adapt to Zord Builder, obviously. And the Shogun Megazord would be, too. You know, those aren't a problem. The Thunder Megazord is the only one that looked like a problem because it combines in a different way.
Ooh, Zord Builder Pyramidus.
If done correctly,
you could just give giant Pyramidus arms to any other.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, the other thing I'm thinking of with that is it'd be engineered where there's like panels with hidden Zord Builder ports that you could flip out. So that you could just dock a bunch of different...
It'd be like Zord Builder mini-cons for him.
Yeah. No, but that's kind of the point. Zord Builder Pyramidus would basically be the Armada Megatron of the Zord Builder system. It would have, like, a dozen or two dozen Zord Builder ports on it, and you could just plug on a ton of stuff to it.
So what would Tor be?
A
piece of crap.
Zord Builder box.
To store all your Zord Builder stuff in. Tor would be the Zord Builder travel carry case.
With shitty nylon with the cardboard on the inside of it.
With, you know, bonus Zord Builder arms that are, you know, Tor's cannon arm things.
I still don't understand the whole Legacy Saba thing. I mean, there is no demand for this product.
No, there's not. There's not.
Unless your name is Jason David Frank.
I have no upper limit to what I expect a Tommy fanboy is going to do, honestly.
No, obviously there will be some people who buy it, but if you just look at the popularity of Green Ranger Dragon Dagger versus Saba Saber,
right,
the numbers are way skewed towards Green Ranger.
Right.
Yeah, it's completely disproportionate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
However, in the continuing tradition of making anything associated with Tommy, Bluefin has announced their first San Diego Comic-Con exclusive, Figo Arts Armored Black Ranger.
Huh.
From that one episode we did a few months ago.
That's from
before. That's been announced before, has it not?
I think people were just speculating hard on it.
It was very strongly rumored after last Comic-Con.
Uh-huh. And the interesting thing about it, of course, is that it's just from Zoo 2 footage, so it's not actually from Zoo Ranger itself.
Yeah.
It is literally an MMPR exclusive.
Right.
So now I can recreate that terrible date that Zach went on.
Yes.
But
now you still need Bulk and Skull Figure Arts, damn it.
But the problem is that as of right now, there's still no announcement of a shieldless Green Ranger with GAC accessory.
Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed this is not a two-pack with a shieldless...
It would be
the same GAC for both of them.
Well, I mean, it would just be like GAC effect parts.
And still no cloth shield effect part.
Sigh.
Well, this was Japanese footage.
Yeah, the cloth shield was never used for that sequence, although...
Well,
apparently...
no, but they could have had one as a bonus accessory.
Well, yeah.
It doesn't all have to be from the same episode.
Well, that should come with a shieldless screen.
Although
there was
a production photo of like American footage for that episode with Zach wearing the cloth shield,
or probably more less a production still, more just a photo that was made at some point for trading cards.
Huh. Mm. Oh, well, okay, that makes a little bit more.
I just want to figure out Angela figure to just hate Zach all the time.
Oh, we'll get to that later.
Oh, yes. So, what else is in the news? Because those are the only things
that we're on the subject of merchandise. We have the first November Tamashii Web exclusives. And starting off that month is Figo Arts Femme.
Surprise! I'm kind of flabbergasted, actually.
We can tell.
Yeah. I am legitimately surprised.
And what else is coming out in November?
Reissues of Rider 1 and 2 with bikes.
And more importantly, Denno Wing Form. Apparently November is Swan Month. Who knew?
Huh. Oh, yeah.
That's kind of ironic that they're... That's probably intentional.
No Deca Swan, though.
See, that would have made it perfect, but then that would... They also haven't made, Deca Master yet, so...
No, that would make it even more perfect that they would, you know, just skip the Swan.
Oh, yes!
Whether Paladin's microphone was plugged in or not, we could hear the swearing all the way from here.
So, yes, those two are 4,860 yen each.
Ow.
Damn.
Exactly.
And, of course, we've seen what is already going to be the best Tamashii Comic-Con exclusive. First animation appearance, Vegeta.
Oh, yes.
I want one.
Yeah, I'd like that one.
Yeah, I do kind of want that, but I want
that. I want that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a photo of it yet.
Fort Max can get that for you.
Yep.
Are we there yet?
Anything else?
Yeah, another exclusive for December, a little farther in advance, but it's... Crow from Makai no Hana.
Oh, that's not Figure Arts, though. That's Makai Kato.
Right. Still.
I wish it was Figure Arts.
For 500 yen. Wow.
Yes, because the Makai Kato line is stupidly overpriced. Die-cast and shit. Ugh. I just like my Figure Arts Garo. I wish there was more of them.
So they're more like SICs, then?
Kind of somewhere between, like... From what I've gathered, I have never gotten one, because there's... expensive.
Kim's not bitter at all, you can tell.
There's somewhere in between that.
The fact that he can't stand without stands for his wings is quite alarming.
Yeah, well, but what else would you do with those wings?
Well, if he can't just stand on his feet with the wings up in the air, then he's got some weight issues.
They can probably be removed.
Maybe shift some of that metal down to the feet to lower the center of gravity?
From what I've heard, they've had some problems with that with the earlier figures. I don't know if the later ones have fixed it.
Apparently not.
Yeah. But hey, speaking of Garo.
Oh, yes. We got the first actual teaser for the Garo anime project this week.
All 15 seconds of it.
The little bit of actual character design looked a little clampy to me.
A little clampy. Not quite as sort of, but not as extreme as like Code Geass.
No, like, but it definitely put me in mind of it.
It looks like something else, but I can't put my finger on it.
Yeah, the clamp thing was the only thing that I could think of that was even similar.
Yeah, but you know, it's an actual product. It's actually coming out, but it's dated for this year now. So
probably only this year. That's the closest we have to details about a release.
So it's probably fall, I'm imagining. It's probably gonna be like a 13-episode October show, because we're already almost on the summer season. If it was coming out then, it would already have bigger trailers than this. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if it's coming out, it's coming out in October.
Or it's gonna be some weird mid-season thing.
Or be like Sailor Moon Crystal and coming out only every 2 weeks.
What's up with that?
I don't. It's like, and the thing is, like, Toei took years and years to actually get it going, and then it's like, oh yeah, it's gonna be bi-weekly, huh?
What sense does that make?
None.
I mean, the animation looks good, but eh.
Maybe it's bi-weekly because at that animation quality, they can't afford to produce it more frequently.
It's Toei, so that would actually make a lot of sense.
But that starts what, the first week of July?
Yeah, 4 weeks. Less than that.
You know, considering that they've been talking about this since, like, early 2012...
Yeah.
It's a little bit alarming that it's actually happening now.
It better be damn f***ing good.
I wouldn't count on that.
No, but it better be...
I never count on that.
It needs to at least be solid. You know, it's gonna just be, you know...
I'd be lying if I said I wasn't looking more forward to the redub of the original series.
I kinda am that, too, because... With a good cast,
that'll have easy access.
And hey, on that subject, Fort Max has been watching Sailor Moon regularly for the first time, apparently.
Yay.
A few weeks behind.
So, Fort Max, you know, actually seeing the series as a series, what do you think?
Usagi is the worst superhero.
He is.
She's totally the worst. Is. She's the worst human being.
Yes.
Oh, I'm not sure if she's worse or if Mamoru is worse. Because I'm serious. All he does is come up, throw a rope, say a few sentences, and just gets his ass out of there.
Yeah, I mean...
At least spends the rest of the episode being a dick to Serena.
Yes! Yeah,
well,
I mean...
I can't hold that against anyone.
I mean, obviously, he gets to be, you know, less of a dick later on, but yeah,
And then he becomes more of a dick again.
Yeah, but early on, he is such a f***ing asshole. It's kind of great.
And where's his figure art?
That's all I thought. Usagi is like, she's a glutton. She's she'll have revenge on people. She'll spy. She'll gossip. She'll get in people's business.
She is Lena Inverse.
Yeah.
Except Lena Inverse is more competent. Like Lena is actually good at what she does.
Yeah.
Lena is scary. Usagi.
Sailor Moon's the worst role model.
Yeah.
That's what makes it great.
But then like, none of them really are that good.
Maybe Ami sometimes, but...
Well, no, she's got her own set of problems.
She does. Not nearly as many problems as she had in the Tokusatsu version, but...
Yeah.
We've had that discussion before.
Sailor V is the only one who's close to being well-adjusted, and she's still...
And she doesn't
can't help now that she's in Zawame City.
She doesn't come up until the mid-30s, so she, yeah. So it's a while where it's just everybody else fending for themselves. And then you get to Uranus and Neptune.
They're the best.
Who are the ultimate assholes. Even more so than Mamoru was early on.
And Luna's life is suffering.
Yeah. She's Taro.
Yeah.
Yeah, Uranus and Neptune are basically go on gold and silver.
Except not related. It's packed with the double television. My favorite thing in the announcement trailer is where they have
uncut.
Yeah, completely uncut with them about to, you know, looking
if
at
you're on a Neptune right there.
Yeah, holding hands. It's like, oh, okay, I see what you did there. Good job.
Paladin, go.
Okay, there's only one more thing I have to share, and that's the first images of Dino Charge toys.
Oh, good. Link?
They repainted the Triceratops.
We don't know that yet. It's a picture, it's a cell phone picture of a computer monitor. Color balance is always wonky with that.
And yet the rest of the colors look close to normal.
Let me see here.
I believe the color balance on the photo is correct. It's also possible this is just a pre-production thing and it's not final. I'll put more faith in it being white or black than purple.
You know what? That wouldn't surprise me.
Because and also, there's orange tips on the Gab revolver.
Why wouldn't there be?
In fairness, though, the Gab revolver doesn't look as bad as the Gokai gun does.
I'm kind of hoping that the scale of gun to battery in this picture is accurate also.
The scale of gun to battery to... You know, that's also a good question. I wonder if it will be compatible with Gabutera.
Good news, it's a suppository.
Yes. Well, it goes in its
one
mouth.
One positive thing to note here is looking
you're not supposed to put a suppository in your mouth.
The proportions have gotten better.
Yeah, they're not super muscular anymore.
What I want to see is a Gabu revolver that works like a Nerf.
Yes!
Nerf gun Gabu revolver.
You could just buy a Nerf Maverick and pretend.
Well, that's not...
That's basically
what
it looks like anyway. Yeah.
But it doesn't have a dinosaur head on the end of it.
Also,
make one!
And of course it shoots foam of dino batteries.
Yes!
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to actually go with complete no faith and say that the Triceratops is recolored.
Yeah. Because we've seen how Bandai apparently treats pink with the Ranger keys.
Especially with it being such a prominent color on the Megazord. But yes, go on.
No, they're not going to release that arm at all. When you buy the Megazord, it's just going to have the right arm and the left arm's going to be empty.
Or it'll come with who replaced it first? Green, black?
I want to say green.
I think it was green because black didn't join until the fifth episode. So, fourth episode. So, yeah. It'll just come with green instead.
Yep.
All sounds completely plausible, which is the sad part.
I wonder how hard it would be for them to recut the series to only use variation forms of...
I don't understand why they'd even bother having female rangers in the first place.
Well, they tried not to in Kyoryu
here. They don't want to sell toys of them. They don't want to attract female viewers. Why put them there?
They tried not to in Kyoryu here.
Contractual obligations?
At first.
Well, at least, you know, Tokuger is using both Mio and Kagura.
Yeah, but that won't survive the adaptation.
No, it won't, no. But I'm talking just about Bandai and Toei. But yeah, Kyoryu did try. And then tried to, you know, slap a Band-Aid on it with Violet, but it didn't quite, you know, just randomly shows up sometimes. Eh.
I just don't understand their logic.
If I understand right, Violet made more appearances in the show out of costume than in anyway.
She did.
Yeah, that's about right.
So I'm not sure how much that even really counts.
Doesn't. And of course, then there was the last minute girl, Cyan.
Last minute and 100 years later.
No. Well, and 100 years later, but yeah. I mean, she shows up. I watched the last couple episodes on streams. So I was like, she shows up, she fights for 30 seconds, and then it's just, you know, all Daigo all the time.
Which is still the biggest problem with Kyoryuger.
Yeah.
So, do we have any more news?
No, I think that's pretty much all the stuff we'd care about this week.
Okay, so since we don't have anything as awesome as Gaim to talk about, we're going to go for the next best thing. Bioman.
Oh.
Quantum Man! Quantum Man!
Actually, it was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
When is it not?
when
you're 4.
Mickey, why don't you start off for us?
All right, Bioman episode 37. It's time for Biohunter Silva to f*** everyone in the ass. And you know what?
I have been, honestly, Silva is a character that in Sentai fandom has been kind of hyped up for a long time. And actually, rightfully so, you know, to the point where he was one of the primary villains of Superhero Tyson. And I see why now.
On that subject, I know, you know, Silva's been done in crossover stuff already, but I'd really like him to come back in another Sentai Rider crossover with Ryoma's brain inside him.
Oh my god!
Oh, yes! Oh, man.
or just, you know, team up with Ryoma Kider.
Yeah, whatever.
That's either the name we're going with that?
Sure, why not?
Well, it's not like you could, you know, really do much else with it.
Yeah.
The options are a little bit limited.
But yes, go on, Mickey.
So, on a dark scaffold set around one of the Jaegers from Pacific Rim, Biohunter Silva is sneaking in, and he's stealing the Papa's car to go run out on a rampage.
Shooting the f*** out of everybody.
Mm. Yeah, he's kind of murdering the hell out
of course he does, because Bioman.
Yeah.
So we cut back to Dr. Man's lair, and we first see the three generals have been upgraded to mecha generals.
I guess
that happened a while ago, but they've had improvements. Mason now has a mecha brain, and
mecha brain.
Yeah. What's your name?
The hard part was getting the brain out.
Not Farrah. Farrah's the battle lesbian, isn't it?
No, that's Farrah Cat.
Farrah Cat is her. Is Farrah's battle lesbian?
Yeah. Farrah now has one red tit and a tit laser on the other side, so that's pretty rad.
Maybe the red one's just a missile.
Like, what's her name?
Yeah.
Yeah. The robot.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Somehow that doesn't narrow it down very much.
It does if you know what you're talking
about. The scary part.
So, Dr. Man's pissed that his ride has been stolen. So, apparently, Silva's not working with Dr. Man. He's just going on a little rampage on his own.
I guess the shooting all the mecha clones didn't really make that clear?
Well, it's becoming more clear and by the moment as he takes the mecha guy again and rampages through downtown Tokyo through their gas factory?
Their chlorine gas factory.
Japan has a factory which manufactures chlorine gas. In the middle of downtown.
Which also leads to one of the best parts of the episode not to do with Silva directly.
Oh, yes.
You know, there's a chlorine gas leak, and the Biomen want to pursue the giant robot, but first they have to neutralize the chlorine gas. So Peebo comes out in the Bio-Robo for reasons.
Which we want Alpha pilot the Megazord. You're desperate.
Peebo is so great in these episodes, though.
And the solution is to produce a salt shaker from the Bio-Robo and salt the chlorine away.
Yes! It's creative.
I don't think chemistry works that way, but Peebo just sprays it everywhere.
Well, that was my worst subject anyway, so I don't know.
It's bioparticles. They can do anything.
Can Peebo just sprays it everywhere be an intro quote?
We'll see.
Okay.
So as the Mecha Gigan approaches, Peebo starts looking at the readings and freaks the f*** out. Starts going into convulsions of absolute terror as he realizes, oh shit, Silva's here.
That's the correct reaction to have to Silva.
But it's not typical sidekick I running. It's like, oh shit, I'm gonna die right now.
Yes!
So he drops the salt shaker on the Bioman and runs away and like a coward.
Like, f*** this shit, I'm out.
There's an intro quote.
We have Ken saying later shitlords or something, which was pretty close to that, but...
Yeah, that... thanks to Ryoma.
Everything good we have is thanks to Ryoma.
So as Biorobo and Peebo run cowardly away, Mecha Mason shows up and is like, hey, that's ours, you dick. Give it back. And he has Saigorn shoot his upgraded eye lightning at him. Biohunter Silver is a little pissed at being interrupted while he's off hunting bioparticles. And so he hops down and pops out his wicked-looking elbow antennas, which they don't really make clear what those are for, but they
look... Reception?
They look awesome or stupid. I'm not certain if he's going to stab someone or just take like a turkey's temperature.
Well, no, but to take the turkey's temperature, you kind of have to stab it anyway, so...
Oh, well, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Well, either way, he's equipped for murder and barbecue.
Maybe murder, then barbecue.
Depends what you're murdering.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
So, by himself, he takes out an entire squad of mecha humans, or mecha clones, rather.
Mecha humans was Sun Vulcan?
Yeah.
See, nowadays, when a silver guy shows up and randomly murders the enemy's forces, oh, he's a Sixth Ranger. Then, however...
Well, Mecha Mason opens up his wrist and pretends to fire rockets at him, which cause explosions, but no rockets are actually fired. It's a lot more economical to fire rockets that way to not actually launch them.
Right.
The biomen stumble into the scene.
They're on the ball today.
Oh, yes.
And Biohunter Silver realizes, oh, more bioparticles. Well, this is Christmas.
One thing I need to know, outside the stock footage, man, green suit has not held up through this series.
No, it looks like it's made out of avocados.
Yes, especially once he's rolling around in the dirt later on.
Yeah.
But you know, of course, you know, yellow, they had to make a new one because of the bullet holes. But
yellow for
that's fine. No, you're the first one to jump into the line of fire this time too. So
yeah. Yeah, I think it was just, you know, reflex for the suit actor.
The biomen start spamming their special attacks at Biohunter. And he casually shoots them all down, including June's arrows. Which, you know, as we've seen in the past, those just f***ing impale people left and right.
They don't fly. They don't fly. It's just like she pulls back and suddenly they're in your chest.
Yeah, she basically teleports arrows into people. But they are no match for Silva. And he blasts the shit out of them with anti-bioparticles.
Uh-huh.
Because he's got a fresh supply. So it's down to Red versus Silva. And they're doing the whole Western, let's look at each other against sunset.
I do actually, you know, obviously you don't really usually go to Showa Sentai for cinematography. But the part where they're on the hill shooting each other, that's actually look very nice.
Mm-hmm. So the thing about Bioman is that they actually do a lot of really nice looking shots in it.
Yeah.
They go to interesting locations. They do a lot of wide shots.
They do outzord stuff all the time.
All the time, yeah.
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 We get a ton of that in these episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Outside of the Showa-iness of the Bioman, it's really an impressive looking series.
It is. Yeah. It really is. I think it was probably helped by having, you know, limited number of suits to pay for.
That's true. It's kind of like with Gaim, what they don't use in the suit budget they use for other things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, and they still made about a suit for most episodes anyway.
Well, with Bioman, they spent the extra money on, you know, tour buses to go visit different areas of Japan that aren't the hype factory or the amphitheater.
Or that warehouse.
Yeah. Right before Red and Silva can shoot each other, Mason shows up in the mecha to bust up the party, allowing everyone to basically run in different directions to recover. So the biomen run off to go find out. We should probably go find our Zord and, you know, Peebo too, I guess.
Oh, but hey, the Megazord's over there. The Megazord's over there cowering in the corner.
Yeah, the Megazord is shivering in the rocks, looking like it's taking a shit while crying.
Taking a shit while crying?
Yes.
Okay.
It's that sad.
Okay.
Ever done that before?
I'd rather not say.
Only at Ryan's.
Steakhouse, right?
Yes.
Okay. Wasn't sure if we were talking about something completely different here.
No. So the Biomen talk to Peebo and say, so what's the deal in the sky? And we get the backstory of Planet Bio. It's a long sort of tale, basically amounts to of we like science A and they like science B. And so we killed each other over it.
A science civil war.
Yeah. And helpfully, he's got like flashcards done up like Mars Attack style art showing the downfall of their home planet. And we get for a brief moment a shot of Silva's incredibly awesome mecha. Balzion, whatever. It looks awesome. It's all standing in black smoke and death and destruction. It looks like a Metallica album cover. So Peebo's like, well, when the planet blew up, I thought everyone died.
Fortunately, I'd run away a long time ago.
I mean, I lived, but I assumed everyone else had to have died. Clearly, there's no other survivors.
Is he actually living?
Well, he's not dead.
That doesn't prove anything. Look at us.
So maybe Peebo should have made a story shorter because Silva's caught up to them. He's stomping through the forest, getting ready to murder all of them. We get a brief flashback to Yellow 4 being shot to death again, which, you know, is nice, really.
Yeah, nice. Let's go with that.
Yeah. And Peebo relates that those anti-bioparticles were nothing compared to Biohunter Silver's Bi-Buster, which I assume was an experimental weapon. Huh? Okay, well, screw you guys. Well, Silva finally tracks them down, shows up, and Peebo runs away because he's scared, as well he should be, because, well, look at him. He's covered in gold glitter.
And, well, it's Biohunter Silva.
But it's mostly the gold glitter.
And of all my favorite things in the episode, this next scene is my favorite scene.
With Hikaru?
Yes, Hikaru, pink, chases after Peebo, corners him down by the riverside, and slaps the shit out of him.
And breaks her hand.
Yes. It's a smack that would shatter glass.
Nice that they remembered Peebo's supposed to be made of metal, too.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Silva is predictably raping the Bioman's shit.
Like you do.
And just in the nick of time, Peebo and Hikaru show up and buy a robo and scare away Silva by, what was it, missiles they fired at him?
Maybe they just pulled Salt Shaker back out.
I don't remember.
That thing's deadly, you know.
But about this time, Mecha Mason shows up, and it's time to finish off the Mecha Gigans of the episode. So while the Biomen are down on the ground taking care of, what the hell is his name?
Saigorn,
yes, thank you. They take care of him by spamming special attacks.
Looks like Saigorn's blasting off again.
Peebo up in the back.
Ah, about that.
I wish that was cleaner. I would save that.
That's why I don't do it when it's clean.
I am saving that, though.
You're welcome.
So once Saigorn is taken care of, the Biomen join Peebo and the Biorobo, and they proceed to wage war against the Mecha Gigan, which, I've noticed as the series has gone on, the Mecha battles have gotten more brutal, it seems. I don't know if it's just me, but it feels like they're a lot more warfare-like. Anyone?
Yeah, I can kind of see what you mean.
The Mecha Gigan seem like they're more aggressive now, rather than sort of randomly flinging about. They're actually pulling off attacks and kicking some ass.
Yeah, I mean, there was the 1.2 where Cannon Megas, shot the Biorobo in the groin.
Yeah.
That was definitely a thing that happened.
That's just a dick move.
God damn it, Paladin.
Look, it's not trained, so just let it go.
I don't see the logic at how that one is better, but okay.
So, the Biorobo shows off its new finishing move, where it does somersaults before slicing motherfuckers in half while flying. And the Bioman all hop down to the surface and give each other a thumbs up, resolving to solve this Biohunter Silva problem. It'll be fine, really. As Biohunter Silva climbs up from the smoke and ruin and looks at them with murder in his heart. So there you go, there's 37.
All right, Ken's turn. Ken, get the pork rinds down and start talking.
I believe Ken has walked away from the conversation.
Hello?
Can you blame him?
Hello?
Hello, Ken.
Something happened to my microphone.
I'm sorry, I thought we already had a paladin. I thought we already had a paladin this week.
I don't know how long that was like that.
Me either.
Well,
it's
did you see
funny when it
episode?
Happened to somebody else.
Were people ignoring you?
Apparently.
Were you talking?
Yeah.
What was the last thing we heard him say?
It was towards the beginning of the episode, I think.
Okay.
I think there was something about Saba.
No, the episode of Bioman.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I thought you meant the beginning of this episode.
Damn it, X-Fee. Jesus Christ.
Well, what did we do? We went like 45 minutes once without realizing Paladin had, you know, not
said
anything.
Yeah, but that's Paladin.
We're leaving, too.
Okay.
That's Paladin, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Damn, man. Okay, so what? 38. Let's see here. So, yes. Biohunter, Silva has kicked everybody's asses, and the recap is done through way of Dr. Man observing it.
Through the viewing globe.
So, let's see here. We cut to... Man, where the fuck was this in the episode? Sorry, I got all turned around now. I have my microphone. All right, construction yard. Giant robot is attacking. Bioman shows up. And so does Silva.
Well, that was a hell of an episode. Oh, okay.
Well, I was afraid it went out again.
Where they, Blue tries to unsuccessfully ambush them, but, well, of course he's too wise out of that shit. Ends up kicking their asses again. And again. And again. So, anyway, people has the bright idea that, hey, I'm going to go do this myself.
Wait,
this
is
clearly Peebo's best idea ever.
Yes. So he sends the Bioman a suicide letter. Which is accurate.
Yeah.
I like how they're concerned, though, is that, like, wait, he has still too much to teach us. Not, like, you know, concerned over his well-being or anything, but it's like, wait, he still has stuff to tell us.
I'm particularly impressed by the fact that Peebo has a color-coordinated pistol. Stored inside a supercomputer. Because he goes to, you know, his Cray computer over here in the corner, and like the drawer slides out, and there's his personalized murder pistol.
Well, he's had plenty of time to make one, so...
He probably gets bored every now and then, right?
You know, in between sessions of sniffing the fumes of the paint can, he's probably, you know, spray painting guns.
Anyhow, meanwhile,
apparently Ken is unimpressed with huffing.
Silva comes upon a man crawling out of the river, half dead apparently, and thinks that he's being led to Balzion. Well, of course, it's just a mecha clone, while Dr. Man's subordinates are now trying to ambush him. This is the theme of the episode, apparently. Try to ambush Silva, get your shit pushed in.
Get your shit pushed in.
Yes.
Intro quote.
You've never heard that term before.
I actually have not.
For getting your ass
kicked. I haven't either, but I like it.
Oh, that's for getting your ass kicked?
Yes.
I thought it was for getting in the ass, getting your shit pushed in.
Well, I guess that could be the same thing. But regardless, I mean,
one could follow the other.
Kick in the ass.
True.
Shoot, where's the chicken? Anyway, I'm not going to explain this. So Peebo tries to come up.
Didn't you already?
I'm not going to explain it after you just explained it.
I'm going to explain it further.
This is like an anti-Fort Max, isn't it?
Oh, f*** you. Okay. So, anyhow, Peebo just kind of stumbles up to, fumble and almost not really shoot at him. Then he gets chains from... he gets chains from... Did Silva's gun chain him up? Or was that...
No.
No, he has the tripwire that the...
Tripwire. Okay, there we go. I was about to say, what the... Yeah, he has the tripwire, gets chained up, and then just kind of... Even though Silva's just standing right there, cannot hit the broadside of a barn.
Yeah, Metzler starts screaming from the corner, "Hey, we meant that trap for Silva!"
As it turns out, it is indeed not Baljan. What a surprise. It is in fact... Yeah, it's a mecha giant.
It's never going to be Baljan, is it? Baljan's like Lupus. It's never Lupus.
This is House now? There's something I do love about, like, his... Whenever he's just stopping for a second, the way he just taps his gun on the shoulder.
Yeah.
Well, long before Time Fire.
Probably where Time Fire got the idea.
Yeah. Gun's kind of similar, actually. But
he's
regardless,
Time Hunter Silva.
Except he's just really just going to murder everybody. Really, in a modern Sentai, he would probably end up being like a Sixth Ranger and come in during the mid-teens. But no.
I mean, he's definitely Bioman's Gosei Knight.
Yeah. You know, that seems like a missed opportunity in Superhero Taisen.
It also seems like an insult to some degree.
To who?
Yeah.
Well, Gosei Knight by himself, not so bad. If it was just Gosei Knight fighting Silva, that would be kind of cool.
You know, if the Gosei Drews hadn't been there to ruin Gosei Knight would have been great. And, if the Gosei Drews had encountered Biohunter Silva, they would be dead.
Yeah, this is true.
So everything works out in the end.
It does, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Dr. Man's forces retreat, but they're like, "Hey, we captured Peebo. Yeah,
we'll take him to the live volcano set.
Yes,
that seems safe for the actors.
Totally.
What's the worst that'll happen? You'll catch on fire and die.
You guys like breathing sulfur, don't you?
There's an intro quote for you.
The helmet's on. Not like you can get clean air anyway.
Well, they're probably smoking inside the helmets anyway. It's Japan.
they free Peebo without much incident. But, of course, there's going to be incident because then Silva shows up again. He's very good at that. He's just like, okay, you guys are about to fight like a standard episode. No, I'm going to come up and f*** your shit up. So Peebo tries to, plead to Silva's sense of reason, such as it is, that's like, these guys are not from Bio. They're just, their ancestors were doused in radiation, and they just happen to, have those powers. So, don't murder them, please. Okay? Yes? No?
Bioparticles detected.
Yes! Thank you, Fort Max. That's his response to everything. And that, you would think that would get annoying, and yet it doesn't.
He's an unrepentant murder machine.
Yes! It's like they give him all the Peebo's explanation makes perfect sense. It's like these guys are not going to do the same thing. There was no reason for you to murder them. He's like, no, bioparticles detected. So he shoots Peebo. And
hooray!
I like Peebo, damn it.
But how many other shows do you see the mascot get shot in?
Yeah, this is
enough, damn it.
That's also true.
Bioman is so violent.
Yeah.
So the Biomen do protect him, and then they take it to the Mecha Clones. And then Silva, Dr. Man's forces manage to get Silva chained up, and they take him off. then there's, you know, standard-ish fight.
Also, Farrah has, like, a death breath now, too.
It's just standard, you know, round fight.
Again.
Farrah in the mecha, then mecha fight, and so on and so forth. And some nice outside stuff, too. But that's pretty standard. Meanwhile, Dr. Man has Silva. He explains, you know, what he's looking for. And then tries to murder everybody. Because they ain't going to chain him up.
How else can Bioman end?
with violence and murder.
And what's bad is that, like, Mason does more damage to the mecha clones than he does to Silva.
Yeah.
But, of course, Silva just escapes flawlessly, like he does. And, thus everybody knows, there is a giant, deadly, even bigger murder machine somewhere on Earth. Piloted by an unrepentant, smaller murder machine. This can't end badly.
Nah. This is a great show.
Like I said, all I knew about Silva beforehand is that he was, you know, pretty hyped up in the fandom. I like this, like, three-faction thing where everybody wants to murder each other.
Yeah. Like, equally.
Silva is his own faction, just by himself.
Yeah.
he can take on, like, you know, Dr. Man's entire army and the Biomen. Just, you know, whatever.
And just murder the shit out of everybody.
He doesn't even have his giant robot yet. And this is a show that focuses on the robots more than some Sentai do. Biomen's pretty good.
You're only just figuring that out.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
And how much of it is left unsubbed?
About 10 episodes or so.
Oh, they might actually finish that one.
Maybe, eventually.
Well, let's see. Grown Ups and Spandex has had, what, 4 releases in the last 5 months? Something like that, Fort Max?
Yep. It's been somewhat sporadic recently.
Yeah, I noticed that when I was going to get these episodes, and, like, the bottom of the page is an update from March.
What's the deal?
Yeah, Fort Max.
Translator's been busy.
Oh.
Is that the one that works for HLJ now?
No.
How dare he have a life?
I know there's Toku to sub.
Responsibilities.
I didn't even get to see all of Go Rigen because they dropped it because the translator disappeared. Oh. And, you know...
Disappeared?
And, you know, nobody else translated it.
Right.
I know what I said.
I know what you said, too. I agree.
Okay, so I guess that just leaves one more thing for this episode.
Yay.
A trip through the Cybernet Space Cube to Power Rangers G2.
Not even as good as a Cybernet Space Cube. I never actually bothered with it before. I'm kind of disappointed.
Really?
Yeah.
Cybernet Space Cube, but with Power Rangers G2.
Power Rangers G2. It's like they'll go... I expected it to be even more horrible than it was, but they'll go way too long without f***ing it up. I wanted them to f*** it up more.
They did it more in the earlier episodes, didn't they?
I think it just depended on the episode. Like, with this one, I don't think there was a whole lot of opportunities to do stuff. Because, like, even what they were doing inside the plane felt a little bit pushed on it.
Hmm.
I guess. So, yeah, this was my idea. Foul play in the sky.
At least you know who to blame.
Oh, this isn't the worst thing we could have done.
No, not admittedly.
I mean, we could have done the Terror Toad episode.
You could have done Jungle Fury.
I mean, this isn't the worst thing I could have picked from Power Rangers G2.
Well, yes.
I like this episode. This episode's got a lot of great stuff in it.
This episode actually has a lot of good concepts.
And it also has, like, a completely changed plotline.
Yes, that too.
Which you can see remnants of in the original shot footage they actually used.
Now, I've known about this, but it's been a long time, so for my benefit and the listener's benefit...
Listener.
I said listeners.
No, we have, like, a stable audience. Well, stable might not be the right word, but...
consistent.
So, yeah,
yeah, we have a consistent audience.
Stable like farm animal, right?
The story behind this episode.
Okay, like, I don't know all the details, but it's clear enough to see, like, most of the shots of Alpha in the command center are obvious stock footage.
Right.
And then, as soon as the other four Rangers appear in the command center for the first time, you can see if you look around the edges that the couch bed thing that Tommy was laying on in whatever episode Kimberly was put in the jar.
Right.
And just the movements that are retained, like, you can see that obviously the original intent was to have Kimberly incapacitated by either
being
injured.
And I think in
one
shot you can actually see pink something.
Like pink shoes or slippers or something.
Just in the corner of the shot.
By what?
Like either injury or like some sleeping spell or something like that.
Okay.
You know, she was just put out like that and... Like, basically, I think the same thing they did with Tommy in that other episode to keep him out of it, they were doing to Kimberly in this episode.
That they gave him they gave her a concussion.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
But, you know, instead they went and kind of changed the concept, so they had to throw out most of the original footage.
I wonder what prompted that.
That's the one thing I don't really know, and probably hasn't been talked about.
Like,
you know, it may be...
no one remembers anymore.
It may have just been, you know, they were looking at the rough cuts and like, this is kind of weak. Can we do something different here?
That's possible. So it probably wasn't a content thing or anything. It was just a
I don't think it was a content thing. I think it was just
especially considering they, you know, drop Kimberly on the floor and put her in the hospital for later and for two seasons later. But
yeah, I don't think it's a content issue. I think it's just you know, we could be doing more here than we are.
Or could it be something simple? They screwed up and lost the footage or some shit.
That's possible, too.
Yeah,
rule that option out.
Well, regardless, the episode we got instead, it's a fairly straightforward plot.
Hmm?
Kimberly's off flying with her not-at-all-creepy-looking uncle.
Who is not at all drinking beer or anything like that.
Yes!
I'm not the only one who thought this, right?
Right.
This was made nowadays. This would just be some guy she met on the internet.
But no, they keep focusing on him drinking from this can. I'm like...
Well, that's to establish how the sleeping potion gets in
there. Except they cut the scene where they actually put the sleeping potion in.
Exactly!
Yeah, I know.
It is a sleeping potion, if you look at it the right way.
That's what I'm saying. It's like...
And, like, you know, they keep the dialogue reference to it.
Yeah. So it's kind of confusing. I was like, did he just get drunk and pass out?
He's an uncle. That's what they do.
I know.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I'm an uncle and I don't get drunk. I guess I'm not a very good uncle.
Yeah.
Well, you can pass out from huffing paint too, right? I mean, that's close enough.
But I don't keep paint around.
Well, then maybe you could just like huff canola oil. I don't know.
You know, canola oil smells pretty good when it warms up.
Yeah, so just huff some of that for a while.
Okay. So anyway, Kimberly's going flying with her uncle. I'm going to use air quotes with uncle, because honestly...
Uh-huh. Air quotes.
Thanks for making this so much worse, Fort Max.
That's what I'm here for.
What, Paladin? What? I legitimately did not hear you over Fort Max.
I'm just laughing.
No, but Paladin I'm talking to.
Oh, I didn't hear Paladin at all.
But Paladin said something.
What did I say?
Thought you said something.
So did I.
Do you have a quote-unquote sleeping potion?
What, Mickey?
I just want to point out how much I love this recurring plot thread of Angela wants to bone Angela so hard, and she
Angela
can't
wants to bone Angela.
Zach. Oh, another thing I like about this episode: Zach and Jason are such f-ing assholes both to each other and to everybody else.
Yes.
Like, except only at the beginning and the end of the episode, but they're just like complete dickheads. It's great. It's like they're almost like actual teenagers.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
They're teenagers with attitude.
Ooh.
Oh, snap.
Okay, so anyway, going flying, Bulk and Skull tag along, because you gotta have Bulk and Skull in the episode.
And Bulk gets the best line in the episode.
Which one?
I love this, though. Kimber's like, no, you
no,
can't
there's not
the
room.
Plane.
And well, yeah, that for one thing. And, you know, then her uncle's all like, oh, no, they can totally come. What's the problem?
No, your friends can come along. I see how much you want them to come with you.
And what's they're up in the air, though, it's like, Skull's like, hey, you're not afraid of flying, right? He's like, no, I'm afraid of crashing.
That's a perfectly rational answer.
It is! The answer to that.
Proving that, once again, they are the best characters.
It's not the fall that kills you, it's the sudden stop at the end.
So, yeah, you know, we cut away back to the youth center. Oh, I forgot the best part, too. Before they go flying, you know, Kimberly's showing how long ago this was, because she's talking on a payphone to the others at the youth center.
And she got in the airport without a security checkpoint.
Well, it's just a small airport.
Yeah, to be fair, this is Angel Grove. They're probably so friendly with each other, they don't need security.
But yeah, talking on a payphone. It's like, what's that big thing bolted to the wall that she's talking into? I don't understand.
Is that a pager? I think people used to carry this around with them.
Wear it as a backpack.
People using payphones in this episode. God.
So 90s.
It was a totally different time.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. But yeah, you know, we go back to the youth center and get the great scene of Zach trying to hit on Angela. Yeah. Hey, you totally want to go out with me, right? Yeah, right.
I love Jason's
reaction. Sorry, I like men with 10 fingers.
I love Jason's reaction. It's just like, damn. Mm.
I like also, how Angel doesn't even break hula hooping to shoot him down.
No.
Yeah, and that's
and
another.
She's got two going at once, and she doesn't even fold. Just like,
Props to the actress.
Yeah. And, you know, it's another sign of how 1993 it is. Hula hoops.
Right, there's always that.
Hmm?
I'm sure hula hoops have been around since the 50s.
No, but it's just like, you don't really see hula hoops anymore.
So they died in the 90s.
That's not really a thing that happens. You know. Not really a thing anymore.
Ah, but a thing that does happen, though, is random monster attacks.
Yeah, because we need a B-plot.
Yeah, just, you know, throw some Sentai footage in it. Does it not have pink in there? Okay.
Right.
And if we get an Emmy award-winning actor to be in this episode, too, that'd be great.
Oh, yeah! I forgot.
Oh, okay, I'm missing this one.
Bryan Cranston.
Bryan Cranston!
He does the Silly Lizard voice in this episode.
Yes.
Really?
Yes, it's, you know, yeah. Heisenberg himself.
Well, coming right off of his Seinfeld appearance, I'm sure.
Yeah, that is the... Oh, man, I forgot that completely. Damn. I thought there was something I was supposed to be remembering about this monster when I was watching this episode, but I couldn't remember what it was.
It was that it sucks.
That
makes absolutely no goddamn sense.
Yeah.
And it's like the worst Power Ranger toy ever made.
Yeah, all that is true. But it was something else I was forgetting, and it was this.
But it was our very first Bryan Cranston toy.
somebody needs to get a Snizzard with like a, you know, one of those crappy Heisenberg figures.
Together. Oh, isn't Slizzard also like some kind of slang for getting drunk?
Is it Snizzard? Snizzard. Totally different.
You know, like snake lizard. Snizzard.
Snizzard.
Well, it's close enough.
But isn't it just all snake anyway? I don't get the, you know, half snake, half lizard thing. Wouldn't that just be a snake? Even as
but
a kid that
part apple.
Even as a kid, it didn't make any sense to me. Nor did
from the looks
apple.
Of it, it's also apparently part garden hose.
I really don't understand this monster at all.
No, but the
I don't
monster,
think they did either.
The monster is like the most unimportant part of the episode anyway.
Considering
and
how
apparently it sends them to Easter Island too.
Yeah.
No, they just totally have Tiki heads in Angel Grove. It's fine.
I want to know, what episode was this of Zio Ranger so we can get some fucking context for this?
Yes.
I remember watching it when, you know, I was watching Zio Ranger, but I don't remember where it is. Fort Max, work on that for us.
It's one of the earlier one. For, within
one of the
earlier
20, one?
Definitely.
Because yeah, this is way too early to be a Zio 2 monster.
It's not a Zio 2 monster. But they did have the costume for the whole, like, 15 seconds it was on screen in U.S. footage. Good use of resources there. Anyway, you know, flying along, everything's cool. Until Uncle Steve starts to feel dizzy. And the one thing you never want to hear from your pilot is, oh, I feel dizzy.
Well, he's drunk.
One may have something to do with the other. You know.
I'm just going to lay down here for a second, Kimberly. I'm just
and you wonder why they never see you never see your uncle again.
Because he was jailed.
You know, he probably was, but we'll get to that at the end of the episode. So, yeah, you know, he passes out, and the plane kind of goes a little out of control and starts descending rapidly, and Bulk and Skull have a nice freak out, which is completely dubbed over with new sound effects and the spotlight effects. Which is either a shame or a good move, I can't decide.
It's a lateral motion, really.
Yeah, I guess so. I kind of missed the screaming from the original. Just because they put so much energy into it. But then they decide to pass out too, because, you know, if you're going to die, you might as well be unconscious. And so they leave Kimberly all alone to contemplate their horrible, horrible demise.
Whoops!
So who's the one person she turns to for help? Alpha.
Alpha.
Well, okay, now to be fair, that's not
now
exactly...
you got a problem.
To be fair, that's not exactly how it went down, because, you know, she was like, Zordon? Anybody? And then Alpha answers like, oh, you know,
anybody
maybe
else?
Maybe I could take care of this on my own.
Alpha, can you find me some help from someone competent?
And I like Alpha's first response to this, too, which is part of what got me thinking about this episode, where he basically tells her, you know, if you're going to die, just, like, morph and get out of there.
Save yourself!
But, well, I mean, besides that, though, it's like, yeah, morph and abandon the plane... And, you know, not really give any regard to explaining how the plane you were in went down and you're still alive somewhere.
Okay, of course, let's ignore the point that that Alpha could technically teleport everybody out of there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I really feel for Kimberly here because she's got to be really scared because she's never flown anything in her life before.
No, not any, you know, giant dinosaur robot.
Although, I'm pretty sure the Dinozord cockpit only has, like, two buttons. Up and down.
Sometimes a crystal
Well,
joystick.
It has two buttons and a joystick. Sometimes.
Right, so basically...
And they didn't have the rad bug at this point, right? Because couldn't they just fly that up to get around?
They would have to not be getting their asses kicked.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, while all this is going on, the Rangers are down there getting wrapped up in snakes. But again, that's not really important to the episode at all. How often can you say
the
Power Rangers
are getting... Kimberly is excited about going to fly with her uncle, too, because, you know, that's not an opportunity she gets a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, flying.
Yeah.
It's only every day.
Okay, look,
hey,
there's more...
This is a single-engine propeller plane. You know, that's pretty fancy.
Totally!
Maybe this is like the difference between, you know, being a race car driver and, you know, driving it 200 miles around a track every day and, you know, taking a leisurely drive through the country.
Maybe.
You know, in the Dinozord, she's probably going like Mach 3 and can't actually see anything happening.
And this is more like climbing in the back of your dad's minivan to drive across country to get the cheapest gas.
Like, you've had that experience, right, Fort Max?
Yeah. Now I'm the one with the minivan, so...
Well, yeah. But at one point it was your dad's, right?
Well, my mom's.
Well, whatever.
your mom's.
There's nothing mini about your mom.
Ow.
A maxi van.
Man, we had to get one of those, actually.
You say maxi van, but it makes me think of, like, maxi pads. I want to try and make a tampon pun with a van.
So do I, but it escapes me.
Yeah. Obviously, this is how Mickey was feeling with that oral sex joke he was trying to do earlier.
I know. I've been trying for that thing for, like, months.
Do you even remember the context anymore?
No, I'm trying to work, you know, your mom into sucking cocks in a Fibonacci sequence, and there's no way to make that into a natural-sounding joke.
Because who even talked about the Fibonacci sequence?
Which is, that's apparently, the funny part, yes, about it, but
you can't work
that into casual conversation.
These are the real-life struggles of superhero time. And speaking of real-life struggles, Alpha's talking Kimberly through landing the plane.
That's not horrifying at all.
Aim it at the ground.
Not that fast.
A little slower.
You're going to need another key.
Oh, well done. Well done. I wish I would have thought of that. But yeah, Bulk and Skull wake up briefly and notice, hey, Kimberly's flying the plane, and have the appropriate reaction. They scream and pass out again.
They faint.
Yeah. So, I mean, that whole thing goes on maybe longer than it should have, and she finally approaches the airport, and they're radioing, like, you can't land here, you can't land here, stop, stop, go away.
It goes on for as long as it needs to do, so that way they can fill up the rest of the episode with Sentai footage.
Now here's what I like about the landing sequence, though, is that Alpha clearly said, yeah, Zordon called the authorities and told them the troubles you were having. They're expecting you.
Obviously, that was a big fat lie.
How the f*** does that work?
Although...
He was just trying to, you know, calm her down.
Although, it could also be that, you know, they called and said, there's a plane coming in trouble, and you may need to have some paramedics. But it's not like they would know, like, the call letters or anything to tell them, this plane's going to make an emergency landing. So, you know, they might have been expecting something was going to happen. Or, you know, they might have got the call and hurt. They might have got the call and it was Alpha's voice and thought it was a kid making a prank call.
They got the call and it was, aye, 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 Kimberly's in trouble. You've got to save her. Click. What's that?
You know, I could buy that. Because Alpha's not that smart.
Well, it's Angel Grove. All the buildings are abandoned. It's not like they have much to do.
Yeah, she can just fly through a couple of cardboard buildings to slow down some.
You know, I'm starting to have this theory that maybe Angel Grove is like California's Detroit.
Well, once Rita got a hold of it.
True. Like, you have to think, after the first couple monster attacks, people just started abandoning the city in droves, and that's why all the warehouses and towers and everything are
That's why everything revolves around the youth center.
Yeah.
They're the only ones there.
One place still in business.
Yeah. The only ones there.
This
Angel really is, Ernie.
This is making some sense.
Shouldn't there be more people in this school anyway? Why do they only have one teacher? It's a high school.
Yeah. That was what I was going to say, Ken.
Yeah.
You asshole.
Mrs. Appleby is the only teacher.
This is why Giga Beetle doesn't like you.
Wow.
No, Giga Beetle totally likes you. Sometimes.
You're his favorite when he's not your least favorite.
Right, okay, sure.
You're his favorite character, Ken.
Hey, me.
So, meanwhile, in a completely unrelated episode of Zooranger.
Yes!
Yeah, wrapped up by snakes. But anyway, Kimberly lands the plane, and Steve wakes up just in time to apply the brakes, because Alpha didn't bother to tell her that part.
Man, Alpha is...
Best in-flight instruction ever.
I know, right?
Alpha probably figures, well, once it's on the ground, it'll stop eventually, right?
So it's like, between this... So, on the one hand, we have Alpha, who nearly kills Kimberly several times over. On the
out
other
of
hand,
negligence.
We have
out
Peebo,
of negligence.
Who can pilot a giant robot. I think I'd go with Peebo.
Well, now Alpha's upgrade model could pilot the Astro Megazord.
Orly.
Yeah, well, Boswell's Peebo piloted the Bio Robo.
And the Astro Megazord was already in bad shape then.
Yeah.
But anyway, Kimberly, you know, runs off as soon as the plane is stopped and, you know, no explanation. I'll just call you later. It'll be fine. And yeah, in the completely unrelated episode of G-Ranger, Pink shows up and, you know, shoots an arrow through the snake's apple and...
And just, like, unceremoniously destroys it. Like, okay. That was fun.
Well, wait, yeah, like so much trouble with. Snake with the apple of knowledge thing going on.
Wait, and also William Tell.
Yeah. It was a whole mishmash of things, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, it
certainly was.
That's not important. We still have, you know, a little bit more left of the episode for Jason and Zach to be assholes again.
And apparently
there's
Kimberly...
a brief shot of Trini in the background.
And yeah. Apparently Kimberly's been, you know, using the story of landing a plane by herself to, you know, impress guys.
But just Zach and Jason behind them is the greatest
mocking
thing.
Mocking them?
Yeah. You know, this
guy
ridiculously awesome.
Then they, you know, dump stuff on Bulk and Skull, of course, and then everybody laughs at them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they did nothing wrong.
Because of course they had to do that.
They did nothing wrong the entire episode, except, you know, imposed themselves a little bit.
I kind of wonder if, you know, that also was not just a residual part of the original plot line where Bulk and Skull probably didn't have that much involvement.
Yeah, and so it's like they just get shit dumped all over, and everybody laughs at them. It's like, damn, I'd be a bully too. These guys are assholes.
Well, I mean, you have to look at it from this perspective, too. In that case, who's really the bully at that point?
Mm-hmm.
Is who's... this time... See, this is where they needed PSAs at the end of the episode.
They had PSAs at the end of the episode. They were just teaching the wrong lesson.
Yeah, exactly. Well, okay, they needed proper PSAs.
Yeah. Yeah, the PSAs they had were, don't imitate what we're doing, you'll get killed. It wasn't PSAs of, hey, don't be an asshole like we are to these two who aren't really doing all that much wrong. That's the PSA they needed to have. But, the untold moral of the story is that Steve probably went to jail for making an illegal landing.
While,
you know,
drunk.
Yeah, because Kimberly ran off and, you know, couldn't be reached for questioning. So it all just came down on him.
And then they probably called the bomb squad to the airport after she left her backpack there.
Oh, shit! she just threw it in the bushes after she...
This was 93.
Yep.
Kim might not have been that self-aware yet.
And I mean, this is just a local, regional, private plane airport.
All the same... She just sort of dumps her backpack right in the middle of the open. Like, here, someone steal my shit. I'm going to run around for a few hours.
Or, like, 35 seconds. Whatever.
Also, like, the Kimberly's airplane story is so boring, the best she can do is Family Dollar Emilio Estevez.
Family Dollar Emilio Estevez. Wow. Damn.
This is a great episode. It's got all the things wrong about Mighty Morphin Power Rangers all in one episode to just enjoy in one sitting.
Yeah. Right, I mean...
MMPR Digest.
It's the best episode
all
for
all... it's missing is an excuse to keep Tommy occupied.
Yes! A little too early for that.
Yeah, the excuse this episode is Tommy hasn't been introduced yet.
There you go.
Really, the only thing this episode is missing
occupied
is Megazord.
With finding his way to the studio.
There's no Megazord in this episode.
True.
Yeah. This is the days when they didn't always use that, though.
And even after, you know, Green Ranger was around, there were days they didn't use the Megazord.
It's kind of refreshing, actually.
Isn't it? Even because it's like, I don't necessarily, I've gotten used to it, like, watching Sentai week to week to week to week to week to week. So I kind of expect it. So it's like... it's like with this week's episode, light spoilers, but you know how like with Gokaiger or Shinkenger, sometimes they would just open the episode with a mecha battle so they didn't have to use it later. They do that this week.
Yeah, I like that.
It's like Toei has a contractual obligation to shove the mecha in every episode, so you know
they have a vested interest in selling the toys.
what can you do?
Right. But yeah, I mean, stuff like, hey, Elva's talking Kimberly through landing a plane very badly. and the whole, hey, just abandon the plane and let it crash. We'll sort out the details later. Just randomly thinking about that one day is why I was like, you know, we need to do this for the show one week so we can actually talk about all this wrong.
Yes.
And that's how we ended up with Power Rangers G2 for Power Playback. On a week when we needed filler, so it all works out in the end.
Yep.
And so, you know what we're going to do next week?
Watch something terrible?
We do that every
week. No Gaim's back next week.
Well, you are, but I am stuck here because I have no f***ing money.
Oh.
I envy you.
Actually, I'm probably still getting dragged to the movie, but I'm not paying for it.
I wish I didn't have to pay for it, but...
You're the ones who talked about marathoning the first three before it too.
That was Mickey's idea.
That's just because I hate myself.
Well, obviously.
And me apparently.
Well, also obviously.
Misery loves company.
True. I mean, what's the point of hating yourself if you can't inflict some of it on somebody else too? Makes you feel better.
That's what Superhero Time's all about.
Yeah, it kind of is. And we've been here for 4.5 years. So what does it say about all of us besides Ken, who was late?
Four of us know how to show up on time.
I wasn't late. I was here.
Not from the beginning.
No, I've been on Skype all day.
No, I mean the
this
beginning
joke is
in...
soaring straight over his head.
Yeah, oh, I know.
I missed something here.
The beginning of Superhero Time. Not.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was late.
Yeah. yeah. Good job, Ken.
You're welcome.
He was late
to
the joke, too.
To the conversation.
He was late to the joke.
I was. Damn. Can't argue with that either.
The whole downside of this was I was going to turn it into a joke about Ken possibly being pregnant because he's late, but he just ruined the whole thing completely unintentionally.
You're welcome.
And that's worse than if he just, you know, spoiled it on purpose, too.
So he miscarried the joke?
And then I had to abort.
Oh.
Well, this episode wasn't dark enough yet, so...
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Go to tokupodcast.com for show notes and to listen to previous episodes. Find us on iTunes or download our Android app at tfradio.net/android. Follow us on Twitter for show updates, weekly power playback, and more at superhero_time. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production.
So what are we doing next week?
We're not. There's no show next week.
God damn.
Congratulations. You get a week off to go watch Age of Extinction.
Got a week off from that to recover.
Oh, yeah. So are we two weeks now?
Well, I mean, we'll record again on, what, the 6th, 5th?
9th? Wait, no, I'm looking at the wrong month. 7th? No. 7th?
A week from the 30th we'll record.
7th. 14th. I will not be here for the 21st also.
Why?
I'll be in Texas.
Oh, sure, you can go to Texas, but you can't drive an hour up to Chattanooga next Monday.
I also
didn't
pay for that.
That's no excuse.
just make up some kind of reason for you to get paid to come here to see us.
If I could, I would. Nobody's going to give me that much money. Because even just like $40. Or any money. I hate bills. I hate being an adult. Being an adult,
you know,
sucks.
To listen to you talk, nobody would think you were an adult.
Bite me.
See, it's phrases like that that make you don't sound like an adult. Even Fort Mac sounds like more of an adult than you do.
Jeez, man.
Space Australia.
Yeah, he's an adult space Australian. So, what do we want to do when we come back after our break?
More Bioman?
Well, then we'll have 2 weeks of shows to catch up, right?
Yeah, that's true. We'll
okay,
have...
so we're not going to do anything.
Yes, we will have, you know...
Two trains and two fruits.
Yes, the introduction of Tokyo number 6. 2 episodes of that, so... Yeah.
And we will have Mitchie's continuing descent into madness.
Yay! Oh,
I love
Gaim. So good next week.
I love Gaim.
He's like the most boring character. Like one of the most fun ones to watch.
Yeah, because he
gets
just
better and better if you actually look up the upcoming episodes.
Right? His actor is saying Ayn is having a blast being able to just be so laughably evil.
And yet he is still wearing those terrible clothes.
Yes. Sweaters are evil.
Has everybody seen this week's episode yet?
I have.
I saw the raw. I haven't seen the sub, so I don't have any plot.
Yeah. It looks like Christmas sweater.
So I won't spoil for that. But yeah, his just in that sweater this week is so great. Oh, but next week.
He should get that sweater from that picture I posted.
Oh my.
Never mind. I don't want to know.
Yeah, I mean, this week's Tokyuger and Gaim are both really, really good, so I'm most looking forward to talking about those.
Well, good. You can wait 2 weeks for that.
Crap.
So, Ken, what are you going to be doing on Monday when you're not, coming up to Chattanooga?
Sitting on my ass, I guess.
Mickey, we should go kidnap Ken.
That's a good idea.
I mean, it's an hour drive to where Ken lives.
That's like three, isn't it?
Ken, where do you live?
Near the racetrack.
Okay,
an hour away from Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's like 3 hours from here.
Well, damn.
Yeah, that's a 6-hour round trip. At least.
Well,
racetrack. Can't you kidnap a couple of horses instead?
Okay.
No. NASCAR racetrack.
Okay.
So much even better.
Faster.
It'd be funny if you didn't let
the gas. Those damn things.
It'd be funny if I met you an hour away from the gas station racetrack. That is kind of a random location thing.
Actually, I think the nearest one of those is about 30 minutes away.
Okay, so as it turns out, Ken is an equal distance in the opposite direction as I am from Mickey. So, whoops.
I'm like a central location.
You are. If only I could have money in one time.
If, Paladin and Fort Max didn't count, I guess.
No, they don't count.
Let's see. Fort Max is like a 12-hour drive away.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure how far it would be. Like, Paladin should be similar.
Why would you even consider driving to Detroit in the first place?
No, driving away from Detroit.
Right.
Yes. We were not.
This is a suburb of Detroit.
Yeah, we're not going to pick him up. We're not going up there.
No.
Don't be silly.
No.
Why would we go to Detroit?
Yeah, thank you.
Don't worry. I would say the same thing about anybody coming to Atlanta.
I don't want to go to Atlanta.
No, I don't want to be. I don't want to be near Atlanta.
I like Atlanta.
I don't live here.
I don't want to live there, but, I like visiting.
Yeah, who wants to live in Georgia?
Exactly.
I was kind of against it that one time Mickey took me into Georgia against my will.
Oh. Hey, you got some Best Block Stargate toys. You don't need to be kidding.
You kidnapped him over to state lines.
Sort of.
I don't think it's a felony, though, is it?
Well, no, because I'm over 18.
Georgia.
I like how long it took you to respond to that, though. You had to think about it.
Well, I was alarmed at first, and I wasn't sure.
No, I think it's just transporting a minor over state lines. It's a felony.
Oh, okay.
So if it was Fort Max, it would be a felony.
Right.
Take that out of my mouth.
What if they didn't actually work in the mine? They sort of like worked like in the office?
Well, I guess it's a little bit different, but... Oh, okay.
You're digging too deep for that joke.
God damn it.
Although, the trip to Georgia...
Now, is it illegal to transport a transmetal 2 monkey over state lines?
Always.
So the trip to Georgia was kind of entertaining just to see, liquor in a Walmart, which we don't have in Tennessee.
Yeah, I particularly love the dump bin full of single-serve wine bottles.
Well, and I saw somebody post a picture on Twitter of one of those plastic swimming pools used as the dump bin in a Walmart for the single-serve wine bottles, which was just like the best mixing of worlds.
Georgia.
Georgia.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, Tennessee's king of the shit pile any, either, but, you know.
No, but it's my home state. And I'll fully say, go ahead. Let it have it.
It's not like Paladin argues with us about Detroit. Mm-hmm. How could you?
No. Sometimes
hey, my family likes Detroit.
See, sometimes he shows a little bit of dissent. Me, I'm no, I'm f- it.
It's an improvement because that means they got the f- out of Ohio.
Okay.
I mean, Tennessee regularly places like anywhere between 47th to 50th in the states, so in like every category. But we're number one in pollen, so go us.
Yeah, we have the entire world's pollen supply.
Mm-hmm.
It lands on our cars every week.
It actually forms like bouillabaisse cubes inside your alveoli in your lungs. If you actually drowned, you would make tree soup in your lungs.
Except that bouillon cubes don't work unless you have, like, boiling water.
Well, it's because it's also really f***ing hot here, too.
I was going to say you'd need to drown in boiling water.
Well, if you're outside in Tennessee, anywhere between, say, February and November, that's likely.
Like, my mom was always fond of saying that Tennessee has four seasons. Summer, still summer, Christmas, and almost summer.
Yes.
Although, I think that can kind of be whittled down to summer and Christmas.
Yeah.
The Michigan cuts it down to just three.
Snowing, and f*** you.
I thought it was winter, almost winter, still winter, and road construction.
Yeah, the last one is always road construction.
That's a form of f*** you.
Huh.
Yeah, true.
I mean, I grew up around Chicago, and it's basically the same idea.
Fort Max, what is the average humidity in Texas?
High. Very high.
Really? Yeah, I mean when I was in Dallas, it did not seem that dissimilar to being here.
No, it seemed that Texas was dry.
No, God, no. It's like
no.
I go to Houston annually. It is basically a
Houston is
city.
The worst in Texas for humidity.
It is too. It's basically you don't think it when you look at it when you're there. You feel it, but it is close enough to the coast that it is like technically a coastal city.
Yeah, I mean, you got to get a lot farther away from the Gulf of Mexico to get away from this kind of humidity.
Oh yeah,
so just like Detroit then.
Houston, whenever I get out of a car, which will have the AC cranked up, I can't see a damn thing because my glasses will instantly fog up.
I have that trouble coming out of the grocery store sometimes.
Ben and David have that trouble. I don't.
Because you don't wear glasses.
That's true.
Have I seen Ben wear glasses?
Maybe.
I don't remember. Does he actually wear glasses?
Yeah. Glasses or contacts.
I just assume that, you know, he needs them, but he doesn't wear them, so he has something to be angry about. So he can just stand there and see poorly and get mad about it.
Or he'll wear them to get angry because they typically break. So he's hard on nose pieces.
Interesting. How? What?
Well, he keeps adjusting them until the metal just wears out and breaks.
Oh, like bending them, adjusting them.
Yeah.
He shouldn't do that.
No, he shouldn't, but he can't stop. He's like Princess and the Pea.
But the pea is the nose piece?
The P is everything in life.
Life is Ben P.
Have you paid attention to what happens when he's in the passenger seat to the air conditioner?
No, because every time I remember riding with you, he's been driving.
He will insist on adjusting the air conditioner, one of the controls, about every 15 seconds.
On average.
I've actually timed him. Drive, adjust. Drive. Nope, too cold. Drive. A little colder. Drive. Bifocus. Drive. Adjust the vent. Drive. And even colder. It's...
That would drive me out of my f***ing mind.
It does. Then you'll mix in radio into it as well, when he'll have to adjust like the bass and the treble settings, and the front and back focus, and like, oh god, I make it stop. One day, I'm just gonna buy a busy box from the preschool section and glue it to my dash. So you know he can like turn the switches back and forth, and the clown pop out of the little hole.
You know what you need? You need one of those setups in your car where the radio and the climate and everything can be run by a remote control. You know, just have that like in your pocket.
But see, it wouldn't matter. Because it's never correct. It's always needed more adjusting.
No, but like he could make all of his little adjustments and, you know, you could just push a button through your pants. And, you know, make everything completely different again.
If only I could push a button through my pants.
Not that button. The other one.
How many buttons are there in your pants?
Just one.
Bye.
I don't even know what that metaphor means.
You don't have a very high opinion of yourself, do you?
How many buttons are in your pants?
I don't have a button. I got a lever. Good night, everybody.
Super Hero Time. 次回もよろしく。
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.